The Defense Department has a plan for improving and extending the lives of its existing weapon systems rather than buying new ones. It involves replacing microelectronic subassemblies, and DOD has set aside a lot of money for it. A new multiple award contract, or MAC, worth billions is coming from the Defense Microelectronics activity. For more on the MAC and DOD's plan, we turn to Daniel Snyder. He's a contract specialist for Bloomberg Government. Joining me now, Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right, so tell us about the Defense Microelectronics activity. That's not quite as famous as, you know, NAVC or something.
And no, it's quite both a fascinating perspective, both from what the agency is delivering, as well as how it came about. So it first started in Sacramento at McClellan Air Force Base and was primarily used exclusively by the Air Force. And then out of that success in the 1990s, both the Army and Navy have began to use it to improve their weapons systems as well.
All right, so what's involved with microelectronics? I'm taking this to mean that there are modules of control that are in most of the weapon systems, and this is what they want to replace?
That's exactly correct. I mean, I wasn't completely familiar with what microelectronics was until I saw the large dollar amount associated with this contract, which is growing significantly. But microelectronics relates to the study and manufacture of very small electronic designs and components. And in that capacity, DMEA serves as a liaison between defense contractors and the program managers within the government, delivering microelectronic technology upgrades that can make those systems work more efficiently.
All right, so tell us about this contract. You said it's grown considerably. Is it a follow-on to one that's already in place? And how big is the old one and how big is the new one?
Well, there's actually three old ones. This is going to be the fourth iteration. it began back with the first one, and it involved five contractors and was $480 million. And then the second one after that five-year period, and then in 1999, grew to just under $1 billion at $875 million. And then where it got interesting is in ATSP-3, which originally, when they were competing the contract, had a ceiling value of 4.6. And then throughout the period of performance, they admitted that their forecasts were a little bit under what the agencies were using it for, so they've increased that to just over $6 billion currently.
All right, so that's a lot of money. And so, can you give us an example of a type of weapon system that might be enhanced or have its life extended with new electronics versus going out and buying brand new?
Sure. So it's primarily going to be engineering services. A lot of the upgrades that you'll see are involving the communication systems as well as radars within helicopters or the Hercules plane or defense systems such as those.
So in other words, it's black boxes.
I don't know if it's black boxes, but in terms of the technical components, it is very intricate and it takes some very specialized work. And that's certainly reflected in the evaluation criteria that the agency has set forth. They're primarily interested more so on the past performance and requirements and less so on how much it's going to cost in the short term.
And is this something that is primarily going to the large defense contractors? Are there small businesses that can do this? Or who participates in this particular end of the market?
It's certainly focused towards the large businesses. this is the first year that they've opened it up and carved out a little slice of the pie for the small businesses. And that portion in the current ATSP-4 for the small business portion will be $800 million. But the large majority, $7.2 billion, is still set for the large contractors. On the current contract under performance, which is the ATSP-3, it's all of the household names, Lockheed, General Dynamics, Northrop, Raytheon, Boeing, Honeywell, all of the familiar names that you would recognize in the Beltway.
We're speaking with Daniel Snyder. He's a contract specialist for Bloomberg Government. That's a little bit surprising because the term microelectronics, you tend to think is associated with chips. And so I would think, you know, Intel and, I don't know, Rockwell and some of the people that make semiconductors, or I don't know if Rockwell still does, AMD and so on, that make the, when you open up these things and see what's in the bottom of them on a circuit board, are those people mostly subs to the Lockheeds and Raytheons who then integrate these and actually put together the boards?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Rockwell because they were one of the five primary contractors back in its original creation in 1995. They are not competing currently, but a lot is since the transition. A lot has changed, and that's primarily due to mergers and acquisitions. For instance, General Dynamics acquired Ceridian. Northrop Grumman acquired TRW in 2002. And Raytheon, which currently holds two contracts on the vehicle, merged with Hughes in 1997. So those mergers and acquisitions have contributed to a lot of the contractors currently performing. But I also think it's mainly driven by their familiarity with the weapon system. So these guys are most familiar with the manufacturing, and certainly the upgrades are going to have to fit well with the other pieces of the defense weapon system. So their familiarity may give them somewhat of an advantage.
And what is the timeline for this deal? Is number ATSP-4 up and running now, or are they in the solicitation stage?
They are in the solicitation stage as of 10 days. So they just released a large business RFP and a small business RFP, both of which became available to the public on February 17th. So we'll have a 60-day period, and then proposals will be submitted on April 17th. And in the last contract, we saw 9 companies submit proposals, 8 of which were awarded contracts.
And so so there's, I guess the question then becomes, for a given task order, can it be something that any one of several companies can fulfill, or do they need all those companies because they all have specialized capabilities?
From our analysis that we've conducted using Federal Procurement Data System, NG, it seems that Northrop and Raytheon are winning the majority of the task orders on ATSP-3. Now, we certainly expect those two to be well-positioned to continue that success, and those are the only two that are over $1 billion. In terms of the small business portion, it seems as though they explicitly say in the RFP that's out right now, the small business participation is not their primary interest. They're seeking to incentivize the large systems integrators' involvement with small businesses, but it's not their primary interest. They're certainly more focused on getting the job done in the right way.
And just getting back to what the products are, you said primarily engineering services, but it will result in a thing with a circuit board in it and pins that will be installed somewhere, correct?
That is correct, yes. I mean, if we look at the NAICS codes, it's engineering services, and it's a lot of research and development. They do a low degree of production, but it is considered within the scope of the contract.
So, okay, all right. So then, again, this is to extend the life of existing weapon systems and maybe give them greater capabilities within the range they can do that instead of starting over from scratch.
Exactly, which I think a lot of agencies would find appealing based on some budget constraints that are currently underway. Production may not be the best alternative that they have at their disposal. So turning to DMEA may be an appealing factor to most of these agencies. And based off of the task order analysis, it seems as though the Army is the number one agency using the contract vehicle, and they're followed by Air Force, and then it tops those two are 1.6 billion, Air Force is 1.3 billion, and then it drops off a little bit with the Navy at about 660 million.
All right, Daniel Snyder is a government contract specialist for Bloomberg Government. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great weekend.